Good morning. Welcome to the revival. I wanted to find out what a revival was too, and I came up with this. A restoration to life used to religious awakening, revive, to make alive again or to have new life. And I ended up picking Proverbs 29 verse 1 for my sermon text, which says, "He who often rebukes and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." And if you're in that condition, you definitely need to be revived. And the alternative to Proverbs 29 verse 1, I picked Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, "For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, and joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. His word will revive." We can all take a look at our own lives. God cut to the heart. He's a discerner. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. With the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with one mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Turn away my eye from looking at worthless things and revive me in your ways. And that comes from the psalmist. Psalm 119, verse 37. It is the most dangerous experiment for a child of God to place himself within the sphere of seductive temptation, ever feeling of duty, ever recollecting of his own weakness, ever remembrance of the failure of others should induce him to hasten the great possible distance from the sense of unnecessary conflict and danger. We're to flee from sin. We live in the world. The devil is the boss of this world. Our boss is in the heavenlies. And he's given us the help of the Holy Spirit to guide us. Thy way, by the way of emphasis in position and exaltation of all other ways. There are fourfold ways. And the first way is the way of the world. That is the thorny way. The way of the flesh that is treacherous. The way of the devil that is darkness. And the fourth way is the way of God that is gracious and kind. And I would submit the first three are all one and the same, the devil. If you want to be revived, the word will help you. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You have to believe upon that. You have to believe that he died for your sins, that he rose physically, and he's seated at the right hand of power. He's given us the Holy Spirit to guide us. This comes from Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 4. Then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. And that's an impenitent Christian or an impenitent person that rejects Jesus Christ. And you will reap what you sow. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, the way is death. Accept Christ today. Ye not know what a day may bring forth. This comes from the gospel. And Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go? And this is a decision. And that was in chapter 6, verse 47. In verse 66, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. The way of Christianity is not an easy walk. You have to ask yourself, are you willing to pay the price? And in verse 68, this is the key. But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ. That's the anointed one, the Son of the living God. Do you believe that? This is frightening stuff. Psalms 36, verse 12. There the workers of iniquity have fallen. The defeat of the ungodly and the power of evil is final, total, irreversible. Glory be to God. However high the powers of darkness may carry at this present, the time hasten on when God shall defend the right and give to evil such a fall as such forever crush the hope of hell, while those who trust in the Lord shall eternally praise him and rejoice in his holy name. And this is a quote from Spurgeon. And I quote, the sin of doing nothing is about the biggest of all sin, for it involves most of others, horrible idleness. God save us from it. For an unrepentant sinner, repent and believe in the gospel. For a person that is a Christian, follow the dictations of what the Bible says. Understand it, read it, and do it. The Bible says, go and make disciples. Go. Do something. When the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. The difference between an unbeliever and a believer is we have a foundation built on Christ. We have his word that we can draw to. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. Not only here on earth, but the eternal state, you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. That's it. There's no such thing as purgatory. If you find it in the Bible, let me know. And with this scripture, godly obedience is important. Restating the simple gospel truth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes upon him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's as simple as you can put it, but it's most powerful. Reading the Bible. Exhortation, teaching the truth about heaven and hell. The Bible itself teaches us everything we need to know. His direction, his love letter to us. And what are we going to do about it? This is for a believer's firmly established. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and gave us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your heart and establish you in every good word and work. A blood-bought believer has hope. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ, accept him today. It is a gift from God, grace. By grace we have been saved through faith. It is a gift from God, not of ourselves. Nobody is going to go into heaven boasting. It was all done by Jesus Christ, the precious blood of Christ and him alone. He did all the work. All we have to do is believe upon him. I got up this morning. I was very excited to come here. I prepared. It started raining when I was coming here. I'm like, great. I get a free car wash. It's going to wash the streets. It's going to fill up the well and so on and so forth. And so what if it rains? We have tents. We have umbrellas. Nothing is going to keep me. Wild horses won't keep me away from here. When I say to somebody, I'm going to be there, there's a high probability, a 99.9% shot that I'm going to be there. My word is important today. Many years ago, prior to being a Christian, my word meant nothing. Pastor James would call me and say, I need a hand moving. I wouldn't show up. But if I did, you better have something on tap and you better have some food. Them days are long gone, my friends. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We're all going to have trials. We're going to all have tribulations. We all have a story. And we're going to get through it. God will get us through it. He will take us through the fire. Revive me, and then I can, in turn, revive somebody. It all starts with this giving it away. You're going to pass it on. You're going to go. I have to know what I'm talking about, and then I can pay it forward, so to speak, and tell them the Bible truth. With that, we're going to end in prayer. Holy Heavenly Father, thank you for this revival. May it touch lives. May your word spring forth with power and might. May we just always look to you and not this world we live in, Lord. This is our tent. Our home is in the heavenlies. But while we're here, Lord, revive us. And just give us the strength to keep moving forward as Christians and telling people of God's truth, your holy word. Let us never be ashamed of the gospel. Let us always walk worthy as a repentant sinner. And when we do fall short, we come to you and be back in communion. Let us be grateful and thankful for what we have, the blessings that have been bestowed upon us. And let's walk with you, Lord, not this world we live in. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.